This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, as we inch closer and closer to Christmas, I cannot wait, and we have a gigantic show for you tonight. Not sure how much of this I'm going to be able to fit in, but I'll tell you some things that are definitely coming. Yes, I'm going to address this interview. White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles gave an interview to Vanity Fair. There are a bunch of not so flattering quotes that have come out of that interview. We'll have a chat about that in a moment. We are going to discuss the communist protection racket that exists in this country in so many different places. Kind of a couple great examples on exactly what we're dealing with. Americans can't afford health care. This is about to be a huge problem for the Republicans. We'll talk about, well, conspiracy theories. Rents are already coming down in certain places. You'll never guess why. And of course, in hour two, part five of the Rhodesian Bush War begins. And I've already decided, I'm telling you right now, I'm warning you ahead of time, I am finishing it tonight. I don't want to go part six. It's been a long journey. It's been a wonderful journey as we walk through it. I don't want to do part six. Therefore, even if it takes me more than an hour, I'm wrapping it up tonight. The truth is, I don't think it'll take me an hour. I'm not sure, though. You know the tangents I get off on. No matter what, it's done tonight. We are finishing it tonight. Now, let's talk about it. Woke up this morning and not super proud that this is what I do when I wake up, but I'll just go ahead and lay it out for you. This is me. Unless it's the kids or Ob or the dog waking me up, if I wake up on my own, my alarm goes off. This is generally what I do. Probably not the best way to start your day. I wake up, I roll over, I grab my phone, which sits by my bed. I open up my phone. First thing I do is, of course, check and see any missed calls or text messages, any emergencies that I should be aware of. I then open the little Bible app on my phone. I just read the verse of the day. This verse of the day. Try to start out that way. Sometimes I don't. I try to start out, what's the verse of the day? All right. Then I dig into the news. I start opening up media sites, social media sites. Let's see what happened in the middle of the night. Was there a tragedy, a wonderful thing, a scandal, a whatever? I do the same thing this morning that I've been doing, and every single freaking person on the planet is discussing the interview White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles gave to Vanity Fair magazine over the course of 11 days. And, of course, the quotes that are out there publicly are all ones that kind of make you wince. Quotes like calling Elon Musk a ketamine addict, calling the vice president a conspiracy theorist. That got so big, JD actually talked about it
today. I haven't looked at the article. I, of course, have heard about it. But conspiracy theorist, sometimes I am a conspiracy theorist, but I only believe in the conspiracy theories that are true. I believed in the crazy.
Yeah, he goes on. He makes light of it. He's great at that stuff. JD handled it well. But called Donald Trump, well, she said Donald Trump had an alcoholic's mind or alcoholic's behavior, something. Look, it was a bunch of quotes that weren't great. Now, let's talk about something first. When I was a kid, I got in trouble. In fact, I ended up with handcuffs on. When I say kid, I was a teenager, I think 16, 17 years old. Told you this maybe a long time ago. What happened? Well, I had a friend. He was always in trouble. Always in trouble. One of those ones, he was always in a fight with somebody, stealing beer, you name it. always in trouble. It was Friday or Saturday night. I don't remember, to be honest with you. And he and I and another guy, we hop in our car. This is in Bozeman, Montana. And we go cruising Main Street. I don't know if that's something people still do. Back then, essentially what you would do, you would get in your car, you'd drive up and down the main boulevard of the city and see if you run into anybody. Hey, any friends going to a party? Hey, man, where's the party? You see some pretty girls. Ladies, hey, want to go to the movies? You cruising Main Street, looking for a good time. I'm cruising Main Street, looking for a good time with somebody who's well known to local law enforcement. Eventually, we are sitting at a red light beside one guy by himself in a car. And my buddy, who's always in trouble, says, "He just flipped me off." I said, "Wait, what?" "He did. Pull over." So he essentially waves this guy to pull over. The guy pulls over. My buddy gets out of the car, runs up to this guy's car, and socks him in the face. Completely unprompted, just drills him right there in the face. I get out of the car. Grab my buddy. "What are you doing, idiot? Get back in the car." And off we go. Well, now cops are after us. No question about it. We know the cops have been called. Cops are after us. We essentially, like a bunch of fugitives, we hide out in town, taking the back roads, finding dark streets to park on, thinking, okay, how do we avoid the cops? Then we get the genius idea to drive by my buddy's house to see if the cops are there. And wouldn't you know it, the cops were hiding close to my buddy's house, knew exactly who he was, where he lived, and woo, lights behind us. Well, that's not good now, is it? Pull over to the side of the road, multiple cop cars, bright lights inside, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is not good. Dad is going to be upset. Handcuffs on, back of a cop car, dragged down to the police station, the works. Now, I eventually get let out scot-free because the guy who got punched actually said, "Hey, that was the guy who tried to help me." So they took the cuffs off and let me go. No problem. I did miss curfew by 2 or 3 hours because I had been arrested. Had a little chat with my parents when I got home. And I explained to them exactly what I just explained to you. "No, hold on. I was a good guy in the story. You don't understand. I was stopping the bad thing that happened. That's why I was late." And you know what they said to me? "Why were you in the car with him at midnight?" The second you're in the car with him at midnight, you're already in a bad situation that probably can't possibly turn out well. The bad decision was made when you got in the car with him at midnight. Now, Susie Wiles, White House Chief of Staff, I hear she's very sharp, gives an 11-day interview with Communist Vanity Fair magazine. And today the defense is, Susie Wiles said it herself, "These comments are taken out of context." They even have terrible pictures up of the White House staffers. Caroline Leavitt apparently had some lip injections or something. They zoomed in to show those on the pictures. Like, they really did everybody wrong. My question for Susie Wiles and, frankly, everybody involved is, why were you in that car at midnight? "But I was out of contact." No, I got it. I'm sure you were. "No, but they said that it was going to be nice." "No, they said, no, I am sure they did. My question, as Daddy Jesse, remains, why were you in the car at midnight? In what universe do you sit down and give an 11-day interview to Vanity Fair magazine? Are we dealing with the dumbest freaking people on the planet? In what universe did you think that was going to turn out well? Are you shocked? Oh, I was taken out of context. They lied. They used a bad picture." "No, you don't say. You mean that filthy communist who views themselves as the tip of the spear for the communist revolution didn't give you a fair shake? Whoa." I gotta tell you, I'm stunned. And if I sound upset, I'm glad, because I am upset. And you know why I'm upset? Because we have gigantic problems dealing with the communist insurgency in this country, some of them in elected office, some of them wearing judges' robes, some of them convicted terrorists from other countries. We don't have time for amateur hour crap anymore. No more. I would expect all members of the White House, when they get an interview request from Vanity Fair, to stop reading the interview right about the time they read Vanity Fair. Sorry, I'm busy saving America. I don't have time for a hit piece. Click. That's how that interview goes. We don't have time for amateur hour. I'm sorry. We're out of time. Now, I'm fine. I am. Would you like to know how this kind of thing does happen? How could they be that stupid? We'll discuss that in a moment, and then we'll get to all the FBI, DOJ stuff, all kinds of things we have to tackle before we tackle the Rhodesian Bush War. Before we get to that, I want to remind you that living with pain is optional. When you start having chronic pain, what happens is, I've been there, you tell yourself, well, this is just my life now. My foot's always going to hurt. It sucks, but I guess I just won't go on hikes anymore. My shoulder sucks now. I've had to give up golf, not golfing anymore. That's what you tell yourself. Try Relief Factor first. I'll tell you what, 3 weeks from now, if the pain is still the same, then you can tell yourself that. Why don't you give Relief Factor a chance? Go buy 3 weeks of it, a three-week quick start. It's a supplement. It's drug-free. You take it every day for 3 weeks. Watch that pain disappear from your life. Watch you get your life back. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. I swear I actually am in a good mood. We have a bunch of stuff we have to get to. It's just this kind of incompetence. It angers me. We don't have time for amateur hour. We don't have time for this crap. An entire day of the White House staff now having to answer questions like this. This was Caroline Leavitt from earlier today.
This is, unfortunately, another example of disingenuous reporting, where you have a reporter who took the chief of staff's words wildly out of context, did not include the context those conversations were had within.
Okay, we got it. Let me explain something to every single Republican or somebody who works in Republican politics or Republican circles or somebody who wants to. This includes your local politics, state politics, federal politics. Let me explain something again. When you sit down with a journalist in the United States of America, you may want to convince yourself that it's a reasonable Democrat, of course biased against you, but they still want to do the job of journalism and ultimately be accurate at all. If that's what you think, I need you to go lock yourself in a room and slap yourself in the face for about 45 minutes until your brain starts working properly again. There is no such thing as a Democrat journalist who's a little biased anymore in this country. There are committed communists, and when they sit down with you, they are going to do everything in their power to destroy you, your country, everyone you care about, and everything you've ever loved, okay? You're dealing with the spawn of Satan, and if you don't understand that and start treating them like that, we are going to constantly have to wake up and deal with news psychos like this because we're too amateurish and stupid and naive. Now, how do even higher up officials find themselves in these situations? How does this happen? How could the White House chief of staff and every Tom, Dick, and Harry who works inside the building sit down with Vanity Fair for 11 days? Well, let me explain exactly how it's happened. Let me use an analogy I worked on a long time, or didn't work on. I said it before, it was kind of off the cuff, but I've decided I liked it, so I'm going to bring it back. I want you to picture this. You are a peasant. It's the feudal era. It's in Europe, and you're a peasant. You exist on a loaf of bread a day. You work the fields all day. Your life kind of sucks. And in town is this gigantic, beautiful castle. Beautiful. Gilded. They have all kinds of food, all kinds of everything in there. But that's the source of the government. The government that made your life crappy. They all work in there. They all live in there. And the policies they put out, it's the reason your life sucks. And you, You want to change things inside that castle. You want a better government. You want a better way of life, not just for you, for all the other peasants. Good for you. I'm glad you want that. So, one day, you get a knock at the door. They say, hey, we want you to come work for us in the castle. In fact, we want you to bring your family into, we want you to live with us in the castle. We think you've got some sharp ideas. You want to come live with us? And you leave your crappy little hut and you walk into the beautiful castle with beautiful horses and all the meat and fruit and cakes and things you can drink. You have a comfortable bed. I guess you would eat a cake, not drink it. You have a comfortable bed, comfy chairs, entertainment. Life's pretty good in here. How long do you have to be in that castle before destroying the castle, reforming the castle? It kind of gets put on the back burner. I've decided now that I'm in the castle, I kind of like it here. In fact, I like the way they do business. Republicans cannot help themselves sometimes. As much as they rail about the press and the media and all the, as much as they rail against it, deep down they still want a glowing profile in the New York Times they can show their mom. Look, Mom! They still want the cover of Vanity Fair. Oh my gosh, look how glamorous I am! They can't help themselves. Deep down, establishment Republicans, when they get to Washington, D.C., they want the approval of the communist scummy institutions that are destroying the United States of America. They want that fancy bronze bust of them put up at Harvard. They want Hollywood to do a movie about their lives. They want the L.A. Times, New York Times, Vanity Fair to do articles on them. They deep down just want it. Wouldn't it be cool? And the problem is, the second you start wanting that, you're finished. Because the second you start wanting that, you will set aside your desire to reform the castle. You will set aside any thought of the peasants who are out there struggling. It becomes now about you and your photo shoot. And so I'll give it to you straight. I don't want the White House chief of staff to ever, for any reason, sit down with Vanity Fair. I want you to go back and go to work. That's what I want. I don't want the FBI director to do the podcast circuit. I'm seeing a lot of that too. Don't care. I'd like you to go back to work. In fact, we have a couple FBI stories out there I'm about to discuss. Pam Bondi. I still have the Pam Bondi Fox News counter. No, I haven't been keeping up on it. But I don't want to see the Attorney General of the United States of America on Fox News every night. You know why? Because that doesn't indict a single government criminal. Not one. That doesn't put a single bad actor in prison. I know it helps your brand. I don't want to see you on Fox News every night. And that's no insult to Fox News. I want you to go back to the office and put government criminals in prison. I'm getting a little tired of this nonsense. Especially when I bring up the two stories I'm about to bring up about conduct inside the walls of the FBI DOJ. Could we please ignore future phone calls from Vanity Fair and perhaps get some work done, huh? We'll talk about those stories next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We're going to dig into some FBI scandal, DOJ scandal things, kind of communist criminal justice scandal things here in a few. I really am going to calm down. I'm calm down right now. Rhodesian Bush War history is coming up a half hour from now. I just keep getting frustrated with these terrible, terrible stories. And then I look at the people we have sent to Washington to handle these matters, and I demand, it's not that I expect, I demand a level of seriousness here. I demand a level of seriousness because we must be serious about attacking communism in this country. So there's a couple different stories, and I'm not actually going to dwell long on both of them because neither of them are going to be surprising for you. But let me just go ahead and combine these two stories, even though they are separate. First, you remember the Clinton Foundation. It wasn't the Hillary Clinton Foundation. It was just the Clinton Foundation. It was this charity the Clintons had set up. Hillary Clinton was Barack Obama's Secretary of State. That's an insanely powerful position where you deal with, obviously, the other countries on the planet. You are, as Secretary of State, the top diplomat in the United States of America. Your entire life is making deals. Sitting down, diplomacy, all that stuff. It was widely talked about at the time that Hillary Clinton would get these gigantic donations into the Clinton Foundation from foreign actors with whom she was currently dealing with on behalf of the United States of America. And there was the Uranium One scandal. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. Uranium One was a Canadian uranium company. Let me tell you where we're at right now in the year of our Lord 2025. Did you know while we send munitions and money to Ukraine so those things can be used to kill Russian soldiers, that the United States of America is still purchasing Russian uranium? Did you know that? Would you like to know why? Because as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton handed those rights to Russia. And of course, there were some pretty generous donations that came into the Clinton Foundation right about that time. We now know there's some great reporting out there. It's like a 30-page article. I'm not going to read any of it to you. The headline is Hillary Clinton's own Russia scandal. FBI memos detail how Uranium One probe was thwarted. You see, that's a blatant criminal act, what Hillary Clinton did. If she really did hand out uranium in exchange for donations to the Clinton Foundation, that's like one of the worst felonies on the planet. Well, the FBI, believe it or not, had people there that said, this is really, really bad. We need to open an investigation on this right now. And higher-ups at the FBI and, of course, the DOJ shut down those investigations. And, stop me if you've heard this one before, they shut down and stalled the investigations for so long that now, on December 16th in the year 2025, the statute of limitations has miraculously run out on most of these things, therefore ensuring none of these people will be held to account for any of their crimes. Now, combine that with this story also from today. Headline, also, this is from Fox News, FBI doubted probable cause for Mar-a-Lago raid, but pushed forward amid pressure from the Biden DOJ emails revealed. The FBI, in fact, one of the most evil offices in the FBI, the Washington Field Office, even they said, we have no probable cause to raid the home of the former president. We're already working with him. Let's just slow down. Joe Biden's Department of Justice said, nope, we're going in, arm up, time to kick in the door so we can arrest and embarrass our political opponent. Now are you kind of understanding my level of anger at how serious and smart we need to be in the GOP? There is a communist system in place in the federal government to ensure that communists in the federal government can commit crimes and get away with those crimes. And those very same communists in every single level of the federal government believe they should use the federal government to destroy the GOP, not just Donald Trump, you too. So again, hate to keep coming back to it. 11 days with Vanity Fair. Is that what we're working on? 11 days with Vanity Fair? This woman committed high crimes against the United States of America. This woman.
We have never in the history of our country been in a situation where an adversary, a foreign power, is working so hard to influence the outcome of the election. And believe me, they're not doing it to get me elected. They're doing it to try to influence the election for Donald Trump.
Putin, wait. From everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Yeah, you got it. While Hillary Clinton was telling the entire United States of America that Donald Trump was a Russian agent, Barack Obama deployed the CIA and FBI in a bogus investigation to claim the exact same thing. Then Donald Trump had the first 2 years of his first presidency torpedoed investigating Russian collusion. It was, in fact, the Democrat nominee who had apparently, allegedly, worked hand in hand with the Russians to sell critical national security materials to Russia while taking donations in for herself. And the FBI and DOJ covered up the entire thing. We don't have time for Vanity Fair. the time is near. I'm talking about a very ugly time. If these people take power again, God help every single one of us. We don't have time for amateur hour. This is how these people view power. I got this email about the shooting at Brown University. You know how all the way down to the cops, everybody seems to be really quiet about the shooting, the shooter. And let's remember, a young Republican leader, her name is Ella Cook. She's a sophomore, was a sophomore. She was executed, killed. Well, mayor of Brown, mayor of Providence, president of Brown University, the police. I don't know what we can't find. I just don't know. And I got this email. Jesse, I understand you don't do mass shooting radio, which I agree with your stance on that matter. That said, given the lack of any images or at least description of the shooter tells me one thing. Well, we all know what it tells everybody. That means the shooter is somebody the communists want to protect. This is how they operate. Everything, every single murder, every single tragedy is simply an opportunity to move the revolution forward. And when you achieve a position of power in a communist system like Providence, Rhode Island, or in the FBI, you understand full well that your job is not just to destroy your political opponents. Your job is to protect the friendlies. And they do it. The communist-controlled parts of this country have reached a level of evil unseen since the Soviet Union. That is the truth. That's where we are. The only reason all of America isn't aware of it is because there are many parts of the country that are not communist controlled yet. There is so much of the country that is free of this that perhaps we don't fully appreciate just how dangerous of a situation we are in now and how dangerous of a situation we're going into. So again, let me repeat. I'll probably say it 500 more times on this show, and then I'll let it go by tomorrow. I swear I will. I just need to sleep on it. We don't have time for 11 days with Vanity Fair. We don't have time. We have to assume we have 3 years. You understand that? We have to assume the subversive communist Democrats are going to do everything in their power to destroy the economy in the next 3 years, and in so doing, guaranteeing, or at least giving them a good shot, that they get to take over the office of the presidency, where they will have Republicans arrested and executed at a level they didn't even do during Joe Biden's presidency. 3 years, not 30, not 300, 3 years. Maybe next time the Vanity Fair stuff can wait. By the way, speaking of the economy, what are you doing to protect what you have? You think I'm kidding about that? You know these people would drop the stock market to zero if they thought it would give them power again. They would love it. Have you gotten any gold or silver in your retirement? Any physical gold or silver? You know Gold Co., they have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You know how hard it is to get that? You know how they got it? By treating people right. Not some scam agency. Treating people right. Call 855-817-GOLD. Let them help you. You can go to jessielikesgold.com. Maybe if that's your thing, let them help you that way. Don't get caught with your pants down. jessielikesgold.com. Do a couple emails. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Jesse. Sunday was the first NFL game. Oh, sorry. I guess I should clarify that I'm doing emails. Anyway.
Shut up.
Chris, can we add that part to it? We'll just leave Grandma Vodka in there.
Shut up.
And then I'll say Chris on there. What? I like that. And Jesse, Sunday was the first NFL game I watched in 4 to 5 years. I, like you, turned it off with all the equity racism nonsense. I watched the Colts play because I was a big Philip Rivers fan. I turned the game off at halftime after noticing they still have all the players and coaches wearing sweatshirts that say inspire change, justice, equity, opportunity. I hate it, Jesse. The communists have ruined everything. Hey, big dog, can I get the bar, please? That will cheer us up. All right, so that is what communists do, is they ruin things. Everything they touch dies. And I want to explain something. It's not really going to be about the NFL specifically, but it definitely applies to the NFL. When communists push too far, and they always do, they always push too far, it can oftentimes create this large outcry against them. When that happens, they do not change their thinking. They do not change their goals at all. But oftentimes, they will pretend to change their ways and pull back. You want to know, I was reading, gosh, I forget which book. I want to tell you which book, and now I forgot which one it was. It might have been Bloodlands. Anyway, I was reading a book about a lot of Stalin's purges. Stalin's purges in the Soviet Union, where he would have his secret police round people up and, of course, peel the skin off their hands and torture them and shoot them in the face. You know, lovely things like that. When he would go purge the people, large amounts of people, he would do it by region, all right? And so just think of it like states. We'll just make it easy to understand. We don't want to say these big Russian names like states. So Stalin would say, hey, Alabama, and he'd give them quotas because he's a communist. He'd say, hey, I need 20,000 people killed. Go find 20,000 people. Washington, I need you 40,000 people. I need 40,000 people killed. And he would give them these numbers. Hey, Maryland, I need you to give me 10,000 people killed. Well, after this big purge, whenever you would do a purge, what would happen was the public would begin to get really angry and rise up. I know everyone thinks about Stalin like a totalitarian, and he was, but remember, there's no such thing as total power. When enough people get angry in a society, even a king can be tossed, killed, arrested. There's no such thing as total power. It does not exist on this planet. The public would begin to get super angry. You kill enough people, you make enough moms angry, brothers angry, fathers angry, you risk yourself a revolution. When that would happen, Stalin would come out publicly and he would say, oh my gosh, I just found out about 50,000 people they killed in Alabama. I have found the people responsible for it. We've arrested them and we're going to put them on trial. We found the people who did this in Maryland. We're going to arrest them. We found the people who did this in Washington. And the NKVD agents, remember that was Stalin's secret, that was his secret police. They knew. In fact, there were all kinds of quotes. They would write it down. They knew when they were put in charge of an area. Now, keep in mind, when you're the NKVD agent in charge of an area, you're basically the God King of that area. You can just kill anybody like that. Total power. And yet these guys, after enough time, knew, I'm going to die when this is done. And they would sit around waiting for the next NKVD agent and his thugs would show up, grab you, arrest you, public trial for those evil deeds you did, and then shoot you in the face. Everybody died. Those are the lengths communists will go to pretend as if they've changed their ways. When November happened, when Donald Trump got elected, we elect Donald Trump, we have the House, we have the Senate. Yes, it's true that inflation and immigration, those were the two main reasons Donald Trump got elected. It wasn't your hot issues or my hot issues, unless those are your issues. But it would. I know we major on other things, but those were the two. Those are the two main reasons Donald Trump was in the White House. But there were other parts of the coalition that had some significance. The cultural part was definitely part of it. If you remember, in swing states, because we talked about this on the radio, Donald Trump spent a fortune running an ad about tranny stuff. Now, specifically, it was the men and women's sports portion of it. Do you want men playing against your daughter, showering with your daughter? This wasn't just a red state thing. In swing states, Donald Trump spent a fortune. Why? Well, they poll tested it. They poll tested it, and even normies, not you or me, normies thought, oh, this is way too far. Okay, this is gross. No, we have young girls getting beat up on the sports field. This is too far. We win in November, in part because of the cultural stuff, because the communists in our country pushed way too far, way too fast on the communist stuff, and there was this backlash against tranny madness, against DEI, against all this stuff. Now, what happened? all kinds of large corporations and universities, government agencies, they knew they had pushed too far. They knew that they had to at least pretend to change their ways and change their way of thinking. But the bad news is not a single solitary one of them was actually sorry. None of them meant it. None of them have reformed, genuinely repented. They changed their titles at the university. She's no longer diversity director. She's a chief of equality. They changed titles. They maybe massage this a little bit and remove that a little bit. Maybe those end racism signs in the NFL end zone, maybe they took them off the end zone, but put a little smaller font on them and throw them on a jersey somewhere. The communists that did all those evil things under Joe Biden haven't changed their ways. They haven't changed their thinking because they haven't changed their religion. Remember that we're dealing with religious zealots. These are religious people, not political people. The same way you think about jihadis, that's how you should think about communists, because they're just as committed and they're never sorry. All they understand is fear and pain. You're never going to talk them out of it. Now let's stop talking about this nonsense and go do our final part of the Rhodesian Bush War. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.